Okay, so I'm going to talk about Marvin of Zebrafish. And first of all, this work is in collaboration with Jeff Isner. He's a biologist, and Howard and I are applied math. So first of all, this work is a work in progress. So don't expect too much. So first, I will talk about why do you use zebrafish. So first, I'm going to just to tell you a story about what is important about using zebrafish, and after that, I will be talking about VEGF signaling, and finally, I will talk about math modeling of angiogenesis, and I will talk about including cell cycle and couple it with the pathway. So this is a zebrafish tank, so it's like they have a boring life. So they are, the zebrafish is they are like 2 inch long, and they have a short life cycle. It's about generation, about 2 months. And the good thing, they have large offspring, so it's easy to raise them. So they are very cheap. So you just get like a few zebrafish, and after that you don't have to worry about buying new. So it's much convenient than mice. The other thing, they are clear, so you can see them. You can see whatever, everything. You can see it through the microscope. Also, you can do lots of things. You can screen, so you can do lots of genomics if you, and you can do lots of DNA. Also, you can, there are lots of transgenic fish, so you can knock out VEGF, you can knock out whatever you want. So you can do lots of things in zebrafish. And the important thing is that zebrafish are genetically similar to human. Even though, as we heard last time from one of the talks, that people, that mice and human are not similar, but still we can learn some, we can get some insight from studying and looking to zebrafish, and it can give us some candidates for anti-cancer drugs. So first, let me show you a little movie of the zebrafish development. So about that, I couldn't insert QuickTime into PowerPoint, so maybe I need to switch to. Okay, so this is the zebrafish embryo, and you can see that it's divided. And you see the cell division, and after that you can see that the cell will move down, and if the cell is now where to go, okay, so now you start having the somite. So for us, we are not going to study the first 18 hours. We're going to start like after the 18 hours post fertilization. So we are interested in studying the formation, the angiogenesis of this somite. So you will have endothelial cell doing vascularization and moving up to the mid somite and doing the same thing. So basically, what we are going to concentrate is the math modeling is just the first. From the dorsal area to the mid somite. Okay, so the first question, why we are interested in studying angiogenesis in early development of the embryo. So really, we are interested to study what is the mechanism for the formation of angiogenesis. So and also, what we want to know how, what is the pathway which can lead to angiogenesis? Can we stop it? So we can see from the literature, you can have a tumor, and a vascular tumor, and after that, as we can get hypoxia, and after that, you will have sprouting and you get angiogenesis. So really, the idea is like studying this model will, in the hope is getting contact onto tumor agent. So this is a transgenic zebrafish, and the green is a protein which shows the endothelial cell. So you can see that the dorsal artery and also the somite. So really what we are interested in to study the first So basically what we want to study the formation of the angiogenesis until the mid fomite. Because we see here that this pathway, we know that the pathway is different when the endothelial cell starts moving up the gradient, but after that there's another pathway which is different than what happened in the first time. Also, we can use microgeography. We can see that the blood flow in living embryos. So we can see the blood going. So this is the heart. And this is the dorsal artery, and this is like the somite. So here is another picture. So this is what we are studying, this formation of this this vascular sprouting. This is another way to see. You can see that the angiogenesis apart at 24 hours post-fertilization. So the first hypothesis is, what is the role of VEGF? So the idea is like, this is a dorsal artery, and you have endothelial cell, which has two receptors, basically. They have two receptors, A and B. And the idea is like, if you have VEGF diffusing from the mid-somite, so basically it will interact, will bind to the receptor, and the cell will move up the gradient. So this is the first hypothesis. Now let me show you two movies of the wild type. So you can see the wild type. So you have this the blood moving. Yes? Yeah, okay. Let me go back. So you can see this, the blood, and you see the angiogenesis. So you can see the blood going up. And here you can see nicely the formation of this vessel. So this is the angiographic. You can see also the blood is moving. So in the wild type. So now what we are going to do, we are going to knock out VEGF and see what will happen. So we'll knock out VEGF. So if you knock out VEGF, nothing happens. So there are now angiogenesis. So you can see that it's inefficient. So you don't see any blood going, through. So the cell will just die out.
What's
Yes, but I think it's kind of reduced because you don't get the full thing. And another thing is like when you knock out your VEGF using morpholino, we don't really know. I mean, because I was like talking to the buyers asking because I was thinking maybe when you knock out, you will do it 100%. I told me no, not really. Maybe it's so we can't really tell. You can just say it's you are knocking out, but not 100%. So this is why maybe you see little. You know, there's something little thing going on yet. So again, this is like after 56 hours for the wild type, you can see the really nicely formed and the long tail, whereas in this case you really see nothing going on. So kind of, you know, and this guy will die because they can't, you know, after like 56 hours or, you know, after 60 hours they will die. And you see that, you know, the wild type, how the vessels are is severely affected in VEGF knockout embryos. So now the hypothesis is like, you know, you can see that the same pattern I was using before. You have VEGF, so the first in the wild type, what we are thinking is like VEGF is in the mid-somite, it's diffusing, and it's signaling to the receptor, and the cell will move up the gradient. If you knock out VEGF, nothing happens. And moreover, we can do more than that. We can knock out VEGF, and we can rescue VEGF again. So we can see here. In the first picture, the wild type, you can see that you have the formation, of angiogenesis, and if you knock out using morpholino, you can get lack of angiogenesis. But after that, if you add DNA, so you are really, somehow you are rescuing, you can rescue the DNA, the VEGF. You will start getting this angiogenesis sprouting again. So really, the VEGF is required for angiogenesis. I'm here really kind of showing the experiment and how I see it in my little cartoon. So you can see that VEGF is required. If I knock out, I can add DNA. Kind of rescue, and I will get angiogenesis. Also, it's trivial for, I mean, for me, I don't know if it's trivial for the biologist because they either knock out VEGF or knock out the receptor VEGF. As far as mathematician, you know, it's kind of equivalent if you don't have receptor. So the VEGF cannot signal, but still they did the experiment. So they knock out the VEGF receptor, and they see what is the effect. So to really show that this is VEGF, they are really 100% showing that this is VEGF. So and in the end, you know, if you knock out both the receptor, it's the same thing as knock out of VEGF. Same story here. I'm just, you know, I keep VEGF. I knock out. If I knock out the two receptors, I get similar as knocking out VEGF. But the story is that there are more things to the story. It's not VEGF. So VEGF it's required, but it's not only VEGF. There's Sandican 2, a Hebron sulfate. It's also important for angiogenesis. So we can see that the wild type, if I knock out Sandican 2, we stop angiogenesis. So the question is, what happened? What is how, I mean, we knock out VGF, we don't have angiogenesis, we knock out Fendican, we don't get angiogenesis. So the question is like, what, how we can understand what is the interplay between VGF and Fendican? And this slide here, it shows that if you look to the VGF, you can see that Fendican can bind to VGF because there is binding site for, if you see in VGF, so there are lots of isotopes of VGF, you can see that this region, this is the region of binding. So this is the binding region. So Fendican, so really what may be happening is that Fendican bind to VGF. Or somehow Fendican is presenting VGF to the cell, or somehow it's required to Fendican is required for VGF to signal. So this is the model. The model is thinking that Fendican, and Fendican is on the wall of distance of the tumor. So you see, if I have Fendican presenting VGF, if I knock out Fendican, I will not get the effect because we need Fendican to present. So VGF, Fendican is needed for VGF to signal to the cell. So here in the slide we show that the hypothesis is that the migration is dependent on the concentration of VGF and also of Fendican. So now we are going to start the modeling. So the first thing is like when we try to develop a new model, the first question is like whether it's discrete, whether it's continuous, whether it's hybrid, and the answer to the question is question of scale. So what scale are you looking to? I mean, if you're looking to short time scale, maybe you just need just PDEs. But if you want to do things more sophisticated, maybe you use James model. But anyway, so. And there are no universal models, so this is one big problem. So there are no one model, and it's applied to it's like physics. There are no universal laws. So every biology system has its own specificity. So and the other problem is like the angiogenesis is completely understood. So there are lots of lack of knowledge. So which means that the modeling is a moving target. So you know. Every time, you know, like every year, I mean, I have like my biological colleague. So every time he keeps changing his. I mean, with time, you know, like we go for lunch and he would say, I just read the paper in Nature. There is something this and this. So his understanding is changing. Whereas as a mathematician, you know, he can like for 50 years or 100 years, and the math doesn't change. So really we have to be ready to kind of, you know, be flexible to change our model and our thinking. And also what is important in my, what I think it's important is like the good model should predict testable hypothesis. So really if you do model and you provide a hypothesis which can be tested, I think it's fair enough rather than thinking that you are going to cure cancer. I mean, or you can go into your model to be used. I mean, if people that just with your model start having some thoughts or some thinking about mechanism, I think it's good enough. Okay, so our approach here, we're going to use biochemical kinetics and population modeling. So so in this model, I will talk about the chemical kinetics. So I will just simplify the intracellular events. I'll ask the biologist what is the most important factor. So we have here Fendican, VGF. We know there are lots of interesting things, as James suggested. Delta NACH is very interesting pathway. But for now we are just considering VGF and Fendican. here we are coming to include the cell cycle, the role of cell cycle. And also, we are going to model the chemotaxis and couple everything. So basically here, if you, what we saw, what I showed you before, the growth factor will bind to Sendican. So we know that, I showed you that, I convinced you that VGF, Sendican can bind to VGF. So Sendican bind to VGF, and this complex, Sendican, the complex Sendican VGF in turn bind to the VGF receptor, and this receptor, so this receptor will initiate an intercellular signal that will control two events. So I will, in my model, I will try to see, okay, so my event, I will have like cell division or cell differentiation and cell migration. So the cell will decide whether they will migrate or differentiate. And this is up to values of this, the concentration of this complex. So in terms of kinetics, I have, you can see that I will just use, you have G plus S in equilibrium with SG, it binds to the receptor, and it gets you this complex, which can lead to a migration or cell division. One of the hardest parts, I should say, is getting this constant, the kinetics constant. So this is what kind of slowing us down from doing simulation so far. We got the affinities, we have some diffusion rate of the growth factors, which we use, I mean, for the growth factor we use like a crude approximation. We use like diffusion rate is proportion to using like Stokes-Einstein formula. We think of which says that if you have sphere, if you have a sphere with a molecular weight, you can estimate that you can get a diffusion, which is not true. I mean, it's not in the biological sense. It's really a very rough approximation. But this is what we are going to use. But we're still working on the kinetics constant. Yes. Okay. No, not randomly. It depends on the concentration of RxG. Actually, the biologist he was telling me that the cell can be in three states. It can be quiescent, or kind of quiescent and moving, or proliferating. But in this talk, what I'm going to forget about questions. I'm just going to take active and inactive cells. So the active cell are the cell where they are dividing. So in some sense, if they are divided, so they are busy dividing, so they are not going to move. And the cell who move, they are just moving. So they are not. So in one way, if this concentration is very small between like two thresholds, the cell do nothing. If they are in the middle range, they will move. If they are high enough, they will proliferate. No, we didn't, because again, this is a model. This is like, you know, because we don't really know. I mean, when I ask him, you know, a lot of time, like 95%, when I ask him, you know, do you know this? We don't know. It's a lot of unknown. So this is what we said. Okay, so we start from saying that, okay, we knock out VGF, so nothing happens. So we're looking for required. So for us, what we know is that Sendican and VGF are required for signaling. So somehow we are excluding the case what you are saying. So if VGF is alone, we're not going to get signal. So even cell division will not happen. So
depends on the level of the number of molecules that you have. That's mathematically, at least that's one case that's going to happen, yeah?
Yeah, I agree, but the experiment, what the experiment says is that if you knock out Sandy can,
right, okay.
Yeah. Nothing. I mean, if you knock out Sandy can, you are done. They are not angiogenesis. So it's like kind of required. Yeah, even if you put a vision. So really it's required. So,
so is your hypothesis then that non-presented VEGF doesn't do anything?
Yeah, yeah. This is my hypothesis. And the other thing is, the Sandy can will stabilize the gradient, because if with this is my thought, maybe it's not, it doesn't have to do, maybe I'm wrong biologically, but at least mathematically, you know, I'm thinking that the gradient, so Sandy can doesn't diffuse, so Sandy can is on the wall, so this is like the mid somai. This means it's like this. So it's like I have two walls. I have the endothelial cell, and on the wall I have Sandy can, and in the mid somai I have VEGF. And this is like diffused, like, you know, you got VEGF. So without Sandy can, maybe it's like, you know, you are not going to create. It's not stable enough. So really, Sandy can, what it does is stabilize VEGF. So and it's required for VEGF to signal. Did I answer the question? Okay. So if we use the mass action, we can get the equation for G. You can see the half life. So you can see we are including the decay. So VEGF will decay. And it can diffuse. Again, as I said, VGF diffusion is a hard question also, because, I mean, here if I assume that just using the normal diffusion, which is like, you know, I'm just using the crude approximation Stokes-Einstein formula, which gives me an approximation of the diffusion, it's not, I mean, but for now, this is what I'm going to do. I have a source, so I put a source like near here, so I put like a, so source is in close to the boundary, and the Sandy can is only on the wall. No, they get stuck. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, what happened? They have the receptor, because here this is like kind of there is the receptor, because there's a the receptor, the cell sends some processes. So really, somehow the cell will go to the actually, I'm not including that in the model, just because it's hard to model that using PDEs. It's like when the cell will send some processes, and it will sense the media. So which is equivalent to saying that it will sense so the cell will send some processes, like, you know, and it will sense the gradient on the wall, and from there they will move up the gradient. The gradient of I'm getting there. I'm talking about the biochemical pathway. I'm going to get to the cell movement. So here's like the classical Michaelis-Menten equations. So now what I will do, I will link the receptor density to the EC to the to. So how I do that? If we have rho is the number of receptors by cell, I can take define R X Y Z is the number of receptors micromole by per liter, and N is the EC density. So what I want to do, I want just to link the number of receptors to a density of cell. So I can have I can define 1/n max is the cell volume. Then I can have what is the maximum number of receptor will be rho multiplied by n max. Thus, these are the receptor, the number of receptor per liter is r max multiplied by the cell density multiplied by n max. Now I need an approximation of this maximal number of receptor. I can so roughly we have most many growth factors, they have 10 to the 5th receptor per each NDC acid has roughly 10 to the 5th, and we know that the volume of the typical EC is 10 to the 3rd cubic micron, which is approximately 10 to the minus 15 meter cube. So roughly we have 10 to 20 receptors per meter cube. And again, I can divide by Avogadro number, so I can get 1.2 × 10⁻⁶ moles per liter, or 1.2 micromolar. So basically, I would just, you know, I'm getting away with that, I'm just taking it one. But in sense, I know what I'm doing. If this one, but I have to be careful because R max, I can take R max is 1 micromolar. Also, I will use the Michaelis-Menten hypothesis. So if I use Michaelis-Menten hypothesis, so I have like this complex equal for this product. I can use mass conservation. So we know that total receptor equal, we have like receptor either are free or bounded. So from there I can use Michaelis-Menten and I can solve for the free receptor, so I get this equation. So really what I want to get rid of the receptors and include and get like a link to the cell. So I get the density of receptor equal n over n max 1 plus this ratio K2 over K minus 2 multiplied by Sg. So this is the biochemical equation. So now the biochemical equation are independent of, so really what happened is the gradient this biochemical equation are independent of the endothelial effect. So really what happened, you set up, you got the visual diffusion, and everything set up, and you get the gradient, and here I have the formula for what is my figure. So this is kind of, you know, what I'm looking for. So this figure will tell me whether, so if I have, as I said in the beginning, if this this quantity is very small, so the cell will do nothing. They will stay quiescent. If they are in the middle range, they are quiescent, but they are moving. If this quantity is big enough, they are dividing but not moving. So now I'm ready to include the cell cycle. So the cell cycle, I mean, the current thinking is that what I was saying before is like the cell, if they are the quiescent cell, are the cell which they are moved. So the cell it will not move and divide at the same time. So it will decide whether it's move or divide. And most likely that the cell which they are in the quiescent state, they are the one who move. And the R's who are active dividing, so they are not moving. So this is just a schematic. So this only this cell on G0 are moving, and you can see that from here. Now I'm going to link. So the other thing, because I'm getting ready to try the equation for N. So I need to link the biochemical pathway to this. So somehow I will have to decide the active. I will include the growth factor and somehow to control the cell to go from. So I will have growth factor confronted the cell to be either quiescent or active. So really I will take this guy are active and this guy inactive. And I'm going to use really very logistic equation. So here the active one, so they can grow according to this logistic, but it depends on the concentration of the growth factor, of the response of the pathway, this RGSG. And they have half-life. So they can also, so what I was putting together, like the cell in metastasis and the cell dying. So I put everything, I clump this in the active cell. The inactive one, they are growing, and they are only growing. So now I need to add more things. So what I was telling you in the beginning, I was telling you the way I can model the cell with switch so they can become active or inactive. So as I said, I will add a Heaviside function here. So like if you look to this, the first active one, when this signal is high enough, when this is high enough, bigger than some threshold, this one is equal 1. And this is Heaviside function, so this is equal 1. So we got a fraction of the inactive recruiting to the active state. And this is 0 because they are now. So you will get more active cell if RSG is high enough. So you get more cell. So this guy will not reach 0 because, you know, if this is high enough, so they are not active cell leaving the inactive state. Same thing here for the inactive. If, as I said, this quantity is small, so we get this 0, and most of the cells are leaving the active state and going to the inactive state. So this is the way I'm modeling the switch between the active and the inactive. Yeah, if you remember, when I showed this slide, this is the growth. So this is what I'm trying to model, this is the growth factor they control. When it's either you go from this, so the growth factor control the so if you have too much growth, too much signal, if you have so this is what I was saying in the beginning. If this signal is high enough, I will encourage the cell to divide. So we'll have like a cell growth. So this is why I have for the active one, if RSG is high, you get more cell division, so you get more cell growth. And if RSG is high, the inactive one, they can. Yeah, but actually, I'm talking about two things. I'm talking about like the thing which like how the growth factor will affect the cell. So it will affect it in two ways. They will grow, but the this threshold is just to switch how to switch from one state to the other state. And this here, I'm just saying that if the signal is high enough, I will promote growth.
Mm-hmm. So why is it promoted twice? I know that the growth factor increases the population.
Yeah, I mean, the thing why I'm doing twice is because what we think is like there are two mechanisms. Because why I'm adding this herbicide, because I'm going to talk about like, because I want to get more cells, which will, you know, I'm adding more cells. So here it's explicit. Here it doesn't, you know, you can see that here is explicit way that we have recruitment from this compartment. If you think about compartment from this class to the other class. Well, up there, it doesn't. You see what I mean? There are two things different. You can add growth factor, and you have the cell will grow, but it doesn't tell me how much whether you are going to get the inactive. There are no activation. So I'm really modeling two processes, like the kind of the growth of the cell, but also the switch. You know, the cell will switch from active and inactive. I think it's two things. I mean, it's. I think you need to do both. You can't just. I mean, this is like one way. That you can do it other ways, but this is at least one way I think may be done. Yeah, I'm coming here. I have to. Yeah, I will add that. So now this is the chemotaxis. So the way how people do that. Just let's review. I mean, if you have a density, cell density, you can use Fick's law, and you can get to the classical Brownian motion by describing. If you describe the flux this way, you can get this classical diffusion or kind of random walk. So it's like Kolmogorov equation for random walk. And you can do more. I mean, if you want to include the media, and if you are expected in doing this isotropic. So if it is not isotropic, so the diffusion, you can replace the diffusion by a tensor, which reflects the structure of the medium. And the expert on that is Mary Wheeler. She's doing that. She's like the expert in working on this kind of, you know, non-isotropic media. So you can have your media. For example, you can get it randomly when you start your simulation. You can get that randomly, and you get like a transfer, and you do your simulation. You see what you get. So here it can be also nonlinear, so it can depend on position or cell density. So the idea of chemostasis is what you do. You want to specify, if you want to model that chemostasis, you need to specify your gradient. So I will specify the gradient of the active cell and the gradient of the inactive cell. So as I said from the beginning, the active cell, they are not migrating. So they may do random walk. So the flux should be just using the Fick's law. So it will be just diffusion. For the inactive one, I have random walk plus based random walk. So which means that I have something which has to do with chemotaxis. So here is the flux of the EC. So the active here, you see the flux is just a diffusion, so it's just normal diffusion. Whereas for the inactive, I have the normal diffusion, the random walk, plus the base, so I'm following the gradient. And I can get more complicated if I can have it with the strength of the signal, so I can really add all. I can get it more complex, but this is where biologists, you know, there are no way you can. I have no hope to get this constant. I mean, it's like something you have to. Maybe he will give you something. He will tell you what is important. You know, the gradient or which. But again, this is like, you know, what we can do. I mean, we can do more complex than that. But anyway, so this is the full model equation. So here you can see that, and here this is simplified because I'm. So you got R, S, G, but it's fully nonlinear. So basically the first three equations are easy PDEs. Again, I am maybe for the mathematical for both. I'm not saying the first order because I need to add the boundary condition. But here I'm just, you know, we're going to take Newman condition. We're just, you know, if there are no flux for the ODE, we don't need any boundary condition. And we need some initial condition. So here, as I said, it's highly nonlinear. So we got RSG here, so we got nonlinearity here, and we got it also. And so the only bad equation is NA and NI. Otherwise, here, so the idea is like, you know, the biochemical pathway will set up everything, and after that, the cell will work on its own. So it doesn't really affect. So here, the cell will not affect the gradient. Okay, so this is the last slide, because as I promised you, it is a work in progress. So one thing we need to do is working on getting constants, which is a really hard part. But at least I will be very happy if I get. This is what I have hoped to get constants. So the K1 and K-1. I have an idea about that. It's not. We can get that from research. The kinetic constants for the syndicant are much harder. We know the affinity. We have an idea about the affinity, but it's still we don't really have full story about that. But also, there's another issue is like if you're doing this in 2D, we try this in you know, like, you know, kind of modeling 2D, and with the problem we start having side branching, and to get so yes. Actually, what you have 30 microns between here and here. What's that? So basically, what you have, you are right. You will have just 3 cells. Yeah, and this is like we need to include inhibitors. Hepburn, I think, we need to include an inhibitor. And so
FA4.
Yeah, FA4. Mm-hmm. So let me show you. See. So this is one. If you want to include the inhibitor, so really you need to inhibit the site. So if they include the inhibitor, and somehow, I mean, this is like more complex, but we may just think about the inhibitor as a background. So they can't. It's like they have a dip. They have to move in between. So summary. So what I did so far is like I showed you that the zebrafish is a good model for understanding angiogenesis. We talk about VGF syndicant signaling, the zebrafish, and we model that. We introduce mathematical model, which show the interplay of cell cycle and biochemical kinetics. And we still have a lot of things to do, so any suggestions are very welcome. Thank you.